Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And guys, I want to throw out an announcement real quick. We are looking for someone to manage our social media. Once again, we need help in that area. Wanted to say this up front so that you guys actually listen to it, because I know some of you just shut it off when we get to our announcements. Anyway. Yeah. So we're looking for someone that help us with our social media campaign. And if you're interested in doing that, you know, we can get into Jeff's apprenticeship program or do some kind of exchange that way to kind of add value to you as well.
We want more likes. We want more reviews. We want more downloads. We want more exposure. So if you know how to get us that, you should contact us.
Yeah. So if you're already well versed in managing social media and making posting consistent content across multiple channels, and you're looking to get in real estate as well, let us know. That'd be a good fit for us. And if you're interested in that, just hit us up on our hotline and let us know specifically that you're interested in helping with our social media. And then if you would, just give us a brief explanation of your experience doing so. That way we can hopefully kind of quickly filter out some people. But 877-409-8090 is the hotline number. So on this episode, guys, we are going to talk about how to quickly recognize a potential deal. So let's dive in, Jeff.
Yeah. So this lead came to me through one of my apprentices, and she called me and she said, "I want to buy this for myself," because it was in her area, within 30 minutes, she's looking at some buy and hold kind of stuff. And so I asked her a few questions right off the bat. Why do you want to buy this? What are the goals, cash flow, that kind of stuff. And I said, "All right, so tell me some of the specifics of this lead." So let's go through that. ARV, 175. They owe $90,000.
Okay.
The payment is $950 PITI. And if I got some of these numbers, I'm going off memory. So if she's listening, I'm sorry if I screwed it up a little bit.
What was the monthly payment?
Payment's $950 PITI.
$950 PITI. Okay.
Okay, right now it's rented for $1,050 a month.
Okay, $1,050.
It could rent for $1,400 a month.
Okay.
Tell me your thoughts, Jonathan, based on the information you have.
I think there's enough cash flow if she's buying it for herself, if she can get in real light. There's not a ton of cash flow at the end of that. And, this... even assuming that she can rent it for $1,400, that I think she can make, if she's looking to buy it for herself and she's looking for, a cash flow of a couple hundred bucks a month, I think that's possible. It doesn't sound like a super deal to me.
How come? Why would you say that?
Not enough cash flow.
There's maybe potential $450.
Right. Yeah, potential.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is, so I guess if this is a single family.
Yes.
Yeah. So if they're passing on, water, sewage, garbage to the to the owner. There's still going to be, you know, some money in repairs that you need to set aside, but that's why I just like, it doesn't seem super, but yeah, the potential's there. I would still estimate, you know, another 100-150 for if you have to pay for utilities, you know, I mean, you know, water, sewer, garbage.
So there's some answers we're missing here, right? And that's why it's so crucial when you're gathering information that you really do, you know, the very best to gather as much of the information as possible. Because at some point now you're going to sit down with this lead and you're going to try to figure out what can I do with this, right? And
yep.
I can tell you there's some missing pieces for me. One is, what's the condition of this property, right? I mean, is it going to need some updating? You know, is it hammered? Is it, you know, what's the deal? You know, will I have deferred maintenance? Will I have maintenance, you know, repairs that I got to do right away? But what's the condition? The second, which is what you brought up, is, hey, what utilities does the owner pay for? And what do they run per month, right? So, right. Now, immediately, this is in a market where I personally think the price is too high. Now, when I say the ARV is 175, I don't know if that's what my apprentice, you know, ran some comps and came up with, or if they asked the seller what the property is worth. But this is in a market where you kind of are around that 1% rule, and here you're above it. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it seems like there could be a discrepancy there.
Yeah.
But there is one major problem with this deal. Do you know what it is?
No, not off the top.
All right. So when I look at this, I see the same things that you do. And I see two things right off the bat. I mean, three things. I see that it's not the 1% rule, right?
Right.
But it's not terribly far away, so it still might be a deal. Here's where the problems start. Okay. Well, here's one where it may not be a problem. She's renting this property for $1,050 a month. She's making, I mean, the absolute most she could be making is $100 a month cash flow. Maybe there's more motivation there than, you know, she is letting on, because this isn't a moneymaker. And it's very likely it's costing her money. If she had any vacancy, any maintenance, any repairs, I mean, basically anything is a loss for the seller. Okay, but that might work to our advantage, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But here's the major issue, is that she's saying that she's got basically $85,000 in equity, and she's got a monthly payment of $950. Now, what we just did a number of episodes where we talked about backing out all the expenses and working backwards to see what our cash flow is, right?
Yeah.
So we can tell right away, right? I mean, this is a single family. We're not going to, we don't have any other expenses. So what do we see on this paper? It's $450 a month, right? Is the cash flow. That's right. What we get to divide up.
Yeah, not much.
Is it feasible? I shouldn't say feasible. Is it likely the seller is going to be all right leaving most of her equity in this property, the $85,000, and not making any kind of cash flow for it?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either, right? Now, the one saving potential grace in this is that that she's basically doing that right now, right? So, she has no cash flow. So maybe there's that small possibility that she would be willing to, you know, just be done with it and have someone cover that payment for a while and pay whatever equity is left somewhere down the road. Maybe she'd be all right with that. But why wouldn't she just go and just sell it then? She'd do better, even if she had to take a discount even if she took 150 would be a better deal than basically financing this and basically losing equity over time, right? Yeah. And why not just sell it outright? So to me, her payment is too high and right. there's not enough equity or cash flow to offer her really any money. What are you going to offer? The $100? Because that's it. That's all there is. I mean, if I was looking at this for myself, I wouldn't take less than $350 a month cash flow. If I was trying to wholesale it, $350, $300 is basically the least amount. How much equity can you really offer her? What if you said, I'll give you $20,000 down, right? And I want to make at least $15,000. So how much out of pocket are we looking at?
35.
Yeah. And let's say we're making $350 a month. That means that there's no other expense, right? Which we already know there will be. Yep. But 4,200 divided by 35,000.
It's 12%. 12%.
So it is like that's probably the only offer you could make her is maybe even a little less. Maybe it'd be 15 down we'll pay you, I don't know what the taxes and insurance are, but we'll work it out so that her principal payment is $100 more than her underlying principal and interest yeah. payment. And, we'll set it out for however many years. And that's the best that we can really do on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the ones that get tricky is they have a bunch of equity and their payment does not allow for a lot of cash flow. And you still got to divide that up. And sometimes there's not enough cash flow to leave for the seller. So is it worthwhile to go make an offer on this? I would say it's worthwhile to make another call on this.
Get more information.
Yeah.
Dig deeper, find out what the motivation is.
Yes.
What she needs down.
Is that ARV really what she's asking? Is that what she thinks? Where would she be willing to be on this kind of deal as opposed to, I don't know why she'd be asking top dollar, for a little rental that's under rented. So something may not quite be right here, and maybe
it's property condition.
It could be. Maybe that's not really what she was asking. Maybe my student didn't get, she got more of what it's worth and, didn't quite get, what would you take for cash if we can close on the date of your choice, kind of thing. And so, but the one reason that I would investigate it is that she's making little to no money. I mean, she could be losing money every month here. So, that might be worthwhile if you'd want this property for basically, somewhere between a $300 to $450 a month cash flow. And maybe you do.
Yeah, but it's pretty tight. So, to go back to the subject, how to quickly recognize a deal. Well, if I was to look at this and didn't have any more information, it doesn't look like much of a deal here.
The first thing that I would look at is I would say, my guess is that the property needs some work. And is that really her bottom line price? Because that seems on the high side for you know, what she's got, and is she willing to, you know, does she just want out of this, you know, out of the headache? In which case, hey, maybe we can give you some money now and you can get some money later, but you're not going to get money every month.
Right. Yep. Okay. Well,
so I like these kinds because they're, it's the way that you look at this, right? I mean, that you saw, you know, I saw three things right off the bat that made me think that, hey, this is going to be difficult. And I think it also proves another point is that if you're not good at getting and pre-screening the seller and getting the information that you need to make good decisions, that you're going to, now you're going to make offers and you really have no idea if the seller is going to accept them or not because you didn't do a good enough job pre-screening.
Yeah. So quickly, what are those three things?
So the three things I looked at right away is that
payment,
payment. No cash flow. Yep. She's making $100 best case scenario. And I don't think that's the best case scenario.
Yep.
Second, that the amount of equity she has is significant. And most of the time sellers want that equity, you know, either getting paid now and then making some money on it over some time. In which case, you know, this deal doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
And that, and then the payment is, you know, a payment of 950 PITI on a $90,000 loan is, that tells me that this loan's probably been in place for a while. And, she's paid down the debt, and which is a good thing. I mean, there's probably a good amount of money going toward principal, but is she going to be willing to keep giving up that equity, you know, that she's gaining every month by paying a little bit of money each month? I don't know. I personally think this deal does not work, but I would have hoped that I had the information to make a super intelligent decision.
This kind of deal would be, this would be kind of a tough sell to a landlord maybe, but if she was buying it for herself and she had, you know, 20K down and she was truly interested in it, and this was a property that's in an appreciating market, that could, you know, that could work for her in her favor.
It's not an appreciating market. It's a cash flow market. That's why I'm questioning whether that's really the price or more of a value.
See, something like this, a deal like this, I could see, I mean, this would work in our market. We could probably wholesale something like this.
You know, if those numbers were even remotely close to, I mean, you can't even find those kinds of numbers anymore in our market.
Exactly. So,
the potential cash flow, I could make this work if she was willing to take no money
monthly.
And the problem is that she's got a bunch of equity and I can't give her all that equity up front, right? We can't do subordination here. It's not going to work. We know we want to try to get in as late as possible, but it is a rental. Maybe we can offer around 10%. But our cash flow is going to be hindered if there's any expenses involved, right? And we're not taking into, you know, no water, sewer, garbage, no property management, no mowing the lawn, no snow removal, no anything. And you know, I personally, I don't see it that way. Could it be? It's possible, but
it's slim.
It really is. To me, that there's going to be too many things that aren't going to work unless I find out that there's some serious motivation. Maybe those same things are starting to bury this person.
Right. So how to quickly analyze it? I mean, look at the cash flow, and if that's real slim, then you know you can you can already see that it may not work.
I can't offer the seller really any money.
Yeah. Or you can't offer them any additional money. Yeah. Monthly to carry a note.
Yes. So and where that becomes a problem, you know, if she said, hey, I think this house is worth 110 and I'll take 100. Well, that'll work. You know, I'll give you 10 grand. I'll buy this property. I'll take over your existing debt and I'll go raise the rents. Now, hopefully there aren't many expenses involved and the property doesn't need that much in work. Those are still the two variables that we don't know.
Right. Yep. Okay. Well, I hope that's helpful to you guys out there, how to just quickly look at those numbers and, you know, determine whether it's very slim or, you know, hey, there might be a deal here. I mean, if there was a big spread in the rent amount that you could potentially rent it for, say you could rent it for 2000 and the payment's 950. Well, there's definitely a deal there, right? And you can see that right off the bat, yep. Right? Just so that's kind of really what we wanted to convey here in this episode, guys, is just, you know, there's some alarms that are triggered when the numbers are slim and there's a ton of equity tied up. And, you know, like you said, Jeff, most people just want that equity up front, or as much of it as they can get.
If we knew the condition, if we knew the, you know, the expenses and we had a better idea of the situation, if we had those three pieces, I could tell you probably 80% whether I'd want to write an offer or not. Gotcha. And if I did, I'd know it right away and that I'd probably have one offer. That's probably all there would be. And take it or leave it. Or I would say, you know what, this isn't really worth my time. I don't think this is going to work.
Right.
And I would just assume if I can save myself time, and this goes with cash deals, this goes with creative financing deals, you don't want to chase leads you're not going to end up with, right? Unless you want to make an offer on every lead that you get. Hey, you know, hey, cash wise, we can pay 105 for this property, take it or leave it. We don't care. Yep. That's up to you, but we don't do that. We try to pre-screen out the leads. We try to, take the leads that are more conducive to saying yes to, you know, one of our offers.
Yeah. You got to sift, sort and filter.
Yeah.
For sure. Otherwise, you could spend so much time on nothing and you don't get paid.
Yeah. Well, if you just understood how many phone calls it may take to get a hold of this person, get a hold of them again to present the offer, to get a hold of them again to follow up. And then, you know, I want to spend that time working with people that we have potential of buying their property and that I'd actually want to buy their property or, you know, I can make some money wholesaling it, not just because, you know, that you're a lead and I'm throwing out numbers. That's my business model. I guess you will decide on your own, but.
Yeah, but those are all good things to keep in mind. Absolutely. Yep. So, all right, we'll wrap this up here then, guys. Hope that you kind of got the gist of it and that you're able to, you know, quickly look at numbers like this as well and say, yeah, there's nothing there or, hey, I need more information. Guys, you can reach us on the web at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We're also on Facebook. We got a group there at the Creative Financing Podcast. Again, we're looking for someone to help us with our various social media channels. So if you're interested, give us a call on our hotline, 877-409-8090. And also, if you haven't gotten special access to the video that Jeff put together on how to structure creative financing offers, please get that by just texting CFP or creative financing to that hotline number, and you'll get a link for that video. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please email Rebecca, and her email is rebecca@weofferoptions.com, and just put apprenticeship info in the subject line or interested in the apprenticeship. She'll get you the info for that. Also, stay tuned for the Creative Financing Academy. And if you're interested in that, also leave us a message on our hotline as well. We're continuing to build upon that, and that will be available. If it's not already, it will be shortly. So, any last words, Jeff?
We're looking for more apprentices. We love working with people. We want to help people reach their goals. Reach out to us if that is of interest. And obviously we're super excited about our Creative Financing Academy. Think that that's going to change people's lives, certainly their financial lives. And we love doing the show. Get to us on our Facebook page and tell us what else you want to hear.
Yeah, we're definitely looking for content ideas. Yeah. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.